Hey, we are live on the Side Quest Live. I just blew out my throat there. It is I, Dolly Domofsky. Joining me, the one, the only, the Taylor Bliss.
That's me. I was getting something that stuck in my dog's mouth. Classic start to another Side Quest episode.
Classic start. Hey, we're gonna have some good times though. Doesn't matter. We're gonna have a good time even if it's just both of us clearing our throats because we're old. actually, that does remind me. It's a good one. It's a good lead-in. I went to the old doctor's office for my annual physical today. My first one. That's it. My first annual physical. I'm 42.
I won't talk about what mine was.
Yeah, I think this is my first one in like, 8 years. Definitely should go more often. Anyways, I had to sit in my car while they were waiting to bring me in. COVID protocols, all that kind of stuff. I had to call ahead.
Yep.
And I naturally clear my throat a lot. I just have phlegm buildup all the time. Blah blah blah. And as they're going through like the COVID questions, like everything good, are you coughing, any sneezing? I'm like, nope, everything's fine. And they're like, did you just cough? I'm like, yeah, I'm normally like this. Okay, well that changes everything because it sounded like you're coughing. I'm like, no, I've always been like this for like 20 years. I've had this throat issue. And
did they say anything about that when the doctor saw you, or did you just kind of leave that alone?
I left it alone. He's like, any issues? Any issues? Nope. No, I've had this. My daughter has it a little bit too. My dad has it. It's just I've always had this phlegmy buildup.
I mean, you know, they do make doctors for that kind of stuff.
They do. They do make doctors for that kind of stuff, but.
They come from the doctor factory.
There is a doctor. There's a, you know what? That's actually a brilliant idea for a game, the doctor factory.
Yeah, it's actually a sim management game about you have to make sure you're creating the right kind of doctors.
Usually takes like 12 to 16 years to complete this game, but it's pretty good.
Luckily through the magic of science.
Yeah, just for those wondering, my doctor said that the only thing wrong with me is that I'm 42 years old. Other than that, you know, things are good. Look, he's yawning already. Oh, taking care of babies, staying up late to take care of babies and to work, aren't you?
There's, you know, as you well know, there's like one time that you get where that's to yourself, and that's too late.
Toilet, and that's in the toilet, like or now, or like when everybody's asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So last night I was definitely awake, like a little too late.
I totally understand that. I know the feeling, and it's
and it only gets worse from here. Thanks, Sally.
Trust me, it gets worse from here, and then I think it's the point where they start going to school, and they're like, "All right, cool, awesome, school is all set," and then it doesn't get any easier, not at all. They're still having issues going to school, and and you're staying up late to even help them with their schoolwork, and. After that, it's
after college, relearning school along with my child.
It's kind of fun, but not. Let me click a few things here. As you can see, I'll be yawning too. My daughter's first day of school was today, so quite the emotional. I found my tweet of me announcing to the world that my daughter was born back in 2009, and now she's going to junior high. Yeah, dude. Oh man, that hit me. I was like, "Oh shit!" Hey, Playland, how's it going? Good to see you.
I can't believe that you're on Twitter when your daughter was born. That's crazy.
That's how old Twitter is. But we're gonna have a good time. We won't talk about that kind of stuff. I have to fiddle with my camera and find out why it's not zooming in. But who knows? Whatever. I could care less. You get to see more of my room. So, my dungeon. Let's talk a little bit about the news, and we'll dive into what we've been playing. Last week was Gamescom.
A few things came out from Gamescom.
I'll kind of hit the bigger ones.
I have to go rescue the ball from my dog, but keep going.
That's right. Okay, now that he's gone, we're talking about Forza Horizon 5. The two cars they showed, the AMG and the, okay, that's okay. I am a huge Forza Horizon fan.
All right, stop right now. I heard you talk about cars. Cut it
out. Yeah, so stop.
A lot of people are excited about Horizon for 5 for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because it looks real good.
It looks real good. That's the only game that's coming out on Xbox this year. First party game that's a complete game on any of the consoles. So that's a good sign. You're either getting remakes with PlayStation, or you're getting like 1/8 of a game if you're into Halo, or you're getting the full game if you're playing Forza. So
poor Halo.
Poor Halo.
I mean, it's a little bit more than 1/8, but
yeah. I mean, it's you're getting the single player campaign, but only in single player, not getting co-op. And again, this is actually part of the news. I'm trying to see if I can find it. I cannot find it. Oh well. I had it written somewhere. You're getting part of the you're getting the single player campaign, you're getting the, which multiplayer aspect is it? I can't even remember anymore.
I'll tell you what, we can pull this up real quick.
It's on sidequesting.com, and therefore here is the info. Oh yeah, December 8th. We also have that launch date, December 8th. There's the guy that looks like Master Chief, but is not. It is just regular Chief. It's regular Chief.
Small Chief.
Small Chief. I like that. Small Chief. It's campaign and the multiplayer. Of course, that's the free to play portion, which you don't need to buy the game. Eventually you'll get to play both of those. That's on
so weird too.
Yeah. What do you mean?
The fact that the multiplayer is free to play at all.
When considering that was the main sell for Halo, was that multiplayer.
Yeah, it's just really interesting to think about with the way that Xbox Live originated and evolved and basically was a product because of Halo Online multiplayer for a very long time. And the pivot now is to make the multiplayer free. That's just it. That's just, you know, we're on games as a service, and that's where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, it's happening with Halo. It's a huge change, I think, for Halo, because
it's Call very big Duty, for Halo.
Very big for Halo. Call of Duty kind of did their own Warzone thing where they said, yeah, it's kind of the multiplayer, but it's more of the battle royale slash kind of their twist on it. But it became its own thing. Destiny kind of went free to play ish. That was a big part. But this is huge for Halo because, yeah, like you're saying, it's what Ryan Gann would always talk about. Every time I talked to Ryan Gann, it was all about, you know, Halo multiplayer, red versus blue multiplayer, all the fun stuff. And now it's a very different ballgame, and it's kind of ushering in this, like you said, it's the games as a service. It's a whole new. The whole new thing that's happening with video games.
It's just, you know, it's weird to think about sustaining the IP on free-to-play multiplayer is just shows the sea change of choice that Microsoft and Xbox has made with the series and the rest of their catalog. Because if they're willing to do this with Halo, then there's nothing that they won't do it with. Pretty much.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
It's the biggest game they got.
I think it's the right move, to be honest, because, you know, Xbox and Halo are kind of, they were always sort of synonymous to each other, right? You if you owned an Xbox, you had some copies of Halo lying around. You probably had one or two of the games, at least three games. And so Halo is Xbox. Xbox, you know, for the most part was Halo. And now making it free to play, I think, is further pushes that idea, at least to me, is in that you get an Xbox and you get Halo. I mean, it's a part of the deal now. You know, it's they're calling it free to play, but, you know, I would not be surprised if Halo does go the full games as a service or Destiny route, where they're, you know, the single player campaign in the future is built in, kind of like whatever Ubisoft is trying to do here in the future. With
We'll see. We have even less information about that one.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I think it's a smart move for them. I am big into the Halo lore, surprisingly. I mean, that's the campaign is what I play for.
I've read more of the books than I would probably care to admit.
Same here. Same with me and the Halo books and the Mass Effect books. I loved and the graphic novel and so having, you know, the game was it Halo 1? Halo 1 Halo 1 and Halo 2 were heavy on the campaign, but Halo 2 really brought in that multiplayer that everybody kind of knows. And then, you know, the future games, I mean, ODST was essentially a multiplayer game, right? That's spin-off. And they've really kind of focused on that over the years after that. And so, yeah, I mean, you need to get this part out. Sorry, there's like a little weird little gnat flying around. You needed to get this out this year. At least this multiplayer and a single player campaign. I think if there are any things that they got out this year, it was these two. And it shows you, to me, A, how difficult it is to develop games right now in a pandemic. And B, how difficult it is to develop games of this scale in the circumstances that we're in right now. Because Halo it's Xbox's premier franchise. And you don't want to mess it up. You have to put all your, you know, all the eggs in that basket, I guess. You got to get has to nail that landing, and I think delaying it was out of the question because there's a whole reason people bought the Xbox
newer generation, which is too bad because this, you know, after the first delay, obviously, you know, the first reactions were pretty negative, and so they put out the first delay.
Rightfully so, I think that was okay. The right thing.
Yeah, I agree, and you know it. I mean, it's both sides because I think that it would probably have been best to release this as an entire package.
I agree with you, but
I'm a third party that doesn't care about the bottom line of Microsoft as a company. So
that's easy. True.
That's easy for me to say. You know, there's operating expenses and there's revenue targets that in reality exist, and getting a free to play multiplayer that has some sort of season battle pass or something like that that is probably almost inevitably going to be a part of this is part of those revenue targets. So that's the reality of just how it's going to be.
If it does feel like this decision was made probably real early this year to just kind of focus on getting this, getting the free to play multiplayer, because Forge isn't going to be available. the co-op campaign isn't available. So I think it really was, let's get the multiplayer out. That's going to print us money, and let's get that single player campaign, and then let's start working the other things in after these two. And I think, you know, if they were their money making company, you know, Windows, Microsoft, they're pumping out Windows 11 here in about a month, so they knew what they had to get out this year. Otherwise, they were in real solid trouble. Not that Sony has anything. Because as we come to find out this year, I'm just going to hit the back chair. You guys can see me literally go through all this stuff. Horizon Forbidden West gets delayed again.
Yeah.
To February 22.
Most people saw this coming.
There
hadn't been any news since, what was it? Was it June that they...
May? I think it was May. Yeah.
Either way, I mean, they put it out. They left it open-ended for a reason, which again was smart, especially if, you know, Sony was ready and willing to push this to 2022 because they obviously needed the time. I mean,
they left it open, but they also did say we're aiming for this year. You know, which set up a lot of people because
the reality is
typical internet anger.
Well, I mean, you know, the past 5 years of development has been aiming for 2020 into 2021. So, the reality is that they were still aiming for 2021. It just got too difficult. I bet that there's even more moving parts with Horizon than there are for some of the Microsoft stuff for a variety of reasons. Having a parent company, you know, even though Sony America operates, you know, very well, I'm assuming, there's still some things that make things harder when your inevitable parent company is in Japan.
Yeah. But anyway.
Delays, man.
And it's going to be a lot of delays, continue being a lot of delays. I think, you know, weirdly, I think a lot of the stuff we're seeing from Nintendo is smaller games this year, right? Okay, let's quickly hop into that that Metroid Dread trailer, because that was a dope trailer.
It was so good.
Yeah, that was I mean, don't watch this trailer if you don't want spoilers, because there's definitely spoilers in this, but
I mean, I guess from a purist standpoint, but
a purist standpoint. but yeah, they dropped this and they've been doing a good job of outsourcing these smaller games. WarioWare is not a big game. It's not even selling full price. Metroid Dread is, I don't want to come off as saying that 2D side scroll, you know, 2.5D side scrolling games.
Yeah, tread carefully here.
Tread carefully. But there's been a formula with Metroid games in these 2D games. And the developer, you know, Mercury Steam. They did a phenomenal job, at least translating Samus Returns over to the 3DS, and so they already had the backbone here. And then you have the Pokemon, the Chibi games this year, and Mario Party. So none of these, I would say, are games that took like 3-4 years.
I mean, let's
with like tons of.
Yeah. So I didn't actually get to play.
I think it will
Samus Returns.
Okay.
Because
it was okay. It was okay.
Because I haven't brought out my 3DS out of its hidey hole in probably 5 years.
Sure. Yeah.
But that being said, I mean, you know, I certainly watched footage of it and I know what it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at Samus Returns, you look at what we've seen in the media from Metroid Dread. And yeah, I mean, you see the building blocks that Mercury Steam is working with, that they clearly have a lot that they did directly with Samus Returns that they could, you know, I'm not saying that they didn't do additional dev work. I mean, there's obviously working with the Switch versus the 3DS is a complete different kind of situation entirely.
Different architecture.
But you built a very competent game in Samus Returns, and you just have to use everything that you learned and make a very similar game again, because at the end of the day, like you said, it is still a kind of side view 2D Metroid.
Mm-hmm. It's a side quest, one might say.
Nope, but this one's technically a sequel.
This one is technically, you're correct. You're correct. But no, you're right on. It's I feel like, I don't want to say Nintendo's in the best shape, but they have new games coming out this year that are complete.
Yeah.
For whatever the quality is, if you're interested in WarioWare, if you're interested in another Mario Party or Chibi Pokemon, to me, Metroid, this is the game I am now fully most looking forward to, definitely from a first-party standpoint, this year. Forza might be up there as well, because I am a Forza fan, but in terms of uniqueness, and it's just this, because there really doesn't feel like there's a whole lot else coming out this year.
No.
But again, we were saying that in 2020, we were saying, man, 2021 is going to be, end of 2020 is going to be phenomenal once COVID's over. And then we said, well, no, 2021 is going to be phenomenal. And now we're like 2023, maybe, if we're lucky, is going to be pretty phenomenal. But I mean, you saw that the 2022 February is already looking like a freaking mosh pit of great releases, including, let me see if I can find that right here, Saints Row reboot has been announced coming February.
This one divided a lot of people.
Yeah. How so?
I mean, you know, the kind of aesthetic and ethos of the original Saints Row games were, you know, forever kind of weird and inane, I guess. I don't know. It was a way to put it. I mean, like,
sure,
they were dumb. You know, they were similar to games you had played, except they were silly and weird and somewhat nonsensical, even though they did have an overarching story that started with, I think, 2 through 4. And I think the common consensus here was that that's kind of going away with this reboot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the idea of, like, you know, the death of the silly game, or the death of the stupid game.
I think there'll still be some stupidness.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we just saw somebody put on a cat helmet. So yeah, I mean, obviously to a degree.
Yeah, but you don't know. I mean, I tend to think that Deep Silver and Volition, they kind of know what they're doing with this. So, I mean, they went all the way back to Saints Row 2, essentially. Yeah. So they went back to this, and I could see them throw some extra stuff, whether it's DLC or whatever, in there that makes this, you know, crazy again. But I mean, there's still a few months to see what else is going on here. But yeah, I mean, I totally understand the idea that it's not as bonkers as Saints Row 4, which took you into hell, and, you know, it's just completely different style of game of what the original Saints Row. Well, Saints Row 1 and 2 were basically, can we do Grand Theft Auto, but with a little bit of humor? Yeah.
Right.
And then a little more lighthearted. And then Saints Row 3 was like, you know what, let's really push that angle. And then Saints Row 4 just, you know, I still remember the E3 where they had the big purple dildo for the Saints. Was it Saints Row 3 launch? Maybe in the Saints Row 3 launch. And they invite us all into this party. And we walk in there. I just happen to find that, you know, of course, running the party list. Check out the PAX West party list. found out about the party. I walk in there, and I greeted at the front door by someone telling me that I need to show them that I need to put my driver's license, my ID card on the big purple dildo so they can check my ID and make sure I'm 21 years old. So that was definitely something that I will firmly remember about the Saints Row series.
Very firmly.
Very firm. Well, it wasn't big floppy. Never mind. But I mean, I, you know what, Saints Row, bring it. I'm okay with it. I'm glad that it's coming back.
Saints Row is one of those things where I've owned several of the games for a long time and I've never finished a single one. So
yeah, same here. Well, it's I think for those that are listening, Saints Row 3 is free on Epic Games.
Epic Games made a deal a little bit there with the announcement of the new Saints Row, free on the.
I like their tweaked logo there too. Another thing that's coming out. I mean, there was a lot. I'm going to drop this one in here. JJ was right. Midnight Suns, but S-U-N-S, not S-O-N-S. S-O-N-S is a comic. None of these, which you can play as characters. these aren't the stars. In fact, I don't even think they showed Wolverine in the trailer.
No, he's all over the trailer.
Oh, is he on the trailer? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, good. Because they don't mention him at all anywhere else in the in their PR for it. But Midnight Suns is that tactical XCOM game, the Marvel XCOM game that was back in April or May. It was rumored. Kind of being teased.
Yeah, there was rumors, and then there was a little bit of teasing.
Yep. I'm good. I mean, you know what? I think it's awesome. It's a really cool storyline to get into sort of the Marvel dark stuff that demonic aspect of Marvel that we haven't really quite seen. And I know what's interesting with this is that, Ghost Rider's in this, Blade is in this. These are characters that Marvel is sort of pinning for, you know, future phases of the MCU, right? So they had, I think Ghost Rider was actually already a character on the TV series, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series, but they have a new Blade movie coming out in a few years. I think 2023 is that one's supposed to come out.
Yeah, there's Wolverine right there, Dally.
You're right. I'm way off. Sorry, I was wrong. And they have Lilith. I think that was the main witch in this one. I think it's that was Cthulhu. Even better. I'm excited for this. I think it's a neat way to look at Marvel stuff instead of saying, you know, here's Spider-Man again and Captain America and Iron Man. Well, Iron Man's in this. And Thor. Yes. And do the same stuff that you always do. play as them again. It certainly looks cool. I mean, cinematic.
My only thing is that I just don't know what this is. I mean, like, we know it's from the XCOM folks, but like, that doesn't. I mean, I watched this whole trailer once already, and I have no idea what I'm going to do. other than
you're gonna go swip with the whip, and you're gonna go snick snicked with Wolverine's claws and whatever other sounds that the other characters make. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, everybody says it's XCOM, and their PR firmly leans into XCOM. Okay. I'm definitely curious to see how it ends up, how it plays, what are the vantage points that they're using.
You know, I mean, viewpoints, March 22 is not that far in reality. So.
Oh shoot, that's tomorrow. Look at that. So then you'll find out very quickly, even better.
Was it a gameplay reveal trailer?
Gameplay reveal tomorrow was 11? Did they say 11 a.m.?
So 2:30 tomorrow afternoon Eastern time?
Oops, yeah, something like that. As I'm clicking buttons here left and right. It is 2:30 Eastern time. There you go. Yep. So perfect. I'm off this whole week, so I can.
It's coming out on Switch too.
Yes. Which is it. Now, this is a game because I have the XCOM pack for the Switch and it plays all right. So I'm going to assume that they haven't strayed all that much from that, that engine to get it to work, because surprisingly Civ works pretty good. The BioShock games are great on Switch, but then again, they're obviously they're a little older.
I was gonna say those are like early to mid generation, early to mid generation 360 games.
Yeah, so they should play well, but there you go. See, you'll find out what it looks like tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, when you're targeting 30 FPS on a tactics game.
Yeah,
we can make that work.
Yep, I don't think you actually need 60 for something like this. That's turn. Yeah,
it's great. Based.
Yeah, it's great to have. There's a lot more stuff. Was there anything else? I know Into the Pit looked kind of cool. The Witch Queen expansion is next year for Destiny 2. Just you can see how we do our news. We just kind of scroll through our own pages. And then Curse to Golf looks kind of cool. That's kind of an
interesting little announcement tweet trailer coming out of that one.
Yeah, we were talking about this in our chat.
If you're a roguelike fan, as I am, this was a fun little news bite to come through because I haven't seen one quite like it.
Yeah. It's a neat style because I think in the article that I wrote that it reminds me of some of the stuff that like were early Worms games, right? Where you're aiming missiles to blow shit up, and then has a little bit of Spelunky built into there. And, the premise is interesting, which is, you've died. You're a golfer who's died and is in hell right now. And then the only way to get out is to complete 18 holes of golf. Sounds easy, except there's spikes and there's water traps.
A lot of things that destroy your ball.
Yeah, there you go. Everything that can destroy your ball, then you have to start all over again. But I don't know. I believe they're procedurally generated, which is really cool, which means that it's going to be a completely new take each time you play. So I'm looking forward. This is next year as well, right? Right? I think 2022.
That sounds right. I actually don't remember.
Yep, Switch and PC 2022. So it'll be on two handheld devices next year, right? Switch and Steam Deck.
I will say I feel a little bad for my Switch because like every single game like this is just going to immediately pivot to Steam Deck.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, that's where it's going to go.
For me personally.
For you, for sure. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm... Zach is on. I forgot the Streamlabs. What Streamlabs can do, or Streamyard, not Streamlabs. And I was he commented from Facebook. That's interesting. Did not expect that.
He could be. Yes, exactly. We have Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube all at once right now. I was gonna stream it to Periscope and then to LinkedIn, but I'm like, I don't know. That'd be kind of interesting.
Really, the LinkedIn too.
He goes to LinkedIn, which is pretty badass. But I have to pay the I'm already paying like $25 a month for this thing. And to get even more output, you have to pay like, I think it was like 40. And guys, listen, I'm not made of money. I managed to snag the Xbox One or the Xbox Series X Halo Edition.
That Switch OLED? I saw you talking on Twitter about it.
I canceled it.
Again?
I canceled the Switch OLED. Yeah.
I know, but I saw you talking the other day about going in for it again.
I was so tempted to, but I'm like, if I'm going to keep one, there's, it's a beautiful screen. That's all there is to it. Like I said, it's those damn controllers.
I know you just want those Joy-Cons.
I just want those white Joy-Cons.
They're going to sell them.
They didn't sell the red ones, the Mario red ones. They didn't sell them separately. So I don't know. We'll see. But those white Joy-Cons are pretty damn badass. Yeah. That's a color that's going to get beautifully grimy with Doritos and like other, you know, macaroni.
I told you to stop eating Doritos when you play your Switch.
Chocolate. So yeah, that's the news. Anything else you wanted to touch on, Taylor?
No, you've already talked about too much news.
Yeah, I think so. Let's talk about what we've been playing. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first. There's not, mine's a little consolidated.
That's cool.
It's been Psychonauts week, baby.
Oh, tell me. Dude, see, Psychonauts, I got it. We have Game Pass. My dumbass hasn't played it because I figured I'll let you guys go for it first.
Psychonauts is a masterclass of a game. It's
Do I need to play the first Psychonauts game to understand this one? To get into this one?
To get into it? No, they do a pretty good job of laying everything out there. Mm-hmm. But it is as direct of a sequel as it gets. I mean, it takes place like 120 minutes after the end of Psychonauts 1.
That's that's almost 2 hours.
Yeah, just about. I didn't do the math on it, so don't quote me on it. But Psychonauts 1 is also good still and is also free on Games Pass. So if you just scram through Psychonauts 1, it's not the longest experience out there.
It's bug-eyed steampunk kid talking to old man guy. Those are their official names.
I saw somebody on Twitter kind of put it this way, and I didn't want to steal this idea and make it sound like I came up with it because I'm usually not that smart, but like it's Psychonauts 2 is an old, like it's an old game. It looks really good. It's just amazingly fun to play. The game design is incredible. The writing is incredible. The voice acting is very good. It is a game that is so true to itself at all times, and that's one thing that many games struggle with. Zach and I were talking about it last week or the other week with 12 Minutes, where the game, talking about how the game kind of like betrays its own design and stuff like that. Psychonauts 2 is the antithesis, the opposite of that. There is never a time where it is not true to itself. And it's one of the greatest strengths. It's what makes it feel amazing to play the entire way through. Awesome. And the story is silly, but fun and does well enough. It's just a great game.
I played the tiniest bit of the first Psychonauts. I think I own it on like 7 different platforms. I think it's on Switch as well. Is it? I might even own it on Switch. I have it on like one of my tablets. Christ, I have it on Steam and Epic. It's like one of those things that it just kept popping up on like Humble sales. And thank you, Wario64. Every time he tweets that Psychonauts is like $1.99, I end up buying it somewhere. Both the games are only like, Psychonauts 1 and 2 are only like 12, 13 hours, which for me is the perfect length of time for a video game. Again, I'm 42 years old. I think I mentioned that before. I don't have time for you damn kids. I'm not Zach. I think, the series has been like the first game, even the Rhombus Ruin VR game, people really liked. And it's been really like for a series that up until recently only had one game, it was considered a popular series plural, you know, as if it had been around with a long legacy. And it was only one game until they pumped out a VR game.
And as much as I love Psychonauts 1, it's kind of clunky to play. Sure. I mean, like, so in the same way that stylistically Psychonauts 2 is an old game, Psychonauts 1 mm-hmm. is an actual old game to play. The Cameron movement is kind of stiff. It still has some of those hallmarks of early 3D platformers when they started to kind of figure themselves out in a more mature way. And Psychonauts 2 just doesn't have any of those problems. So it has all of the good stuff of what made Psychonauts so great, just without, in my opinion, without any of the shortcomings. I would imagine we will see many, many lists of Game of the Years with Psychonauts 2 on it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the staff has gaga over it, which is really cool. It's good to see, you know, Psychonauts 2, I think Ratchet and Clank had the same kind of feel. Just people were just in love with everything about both those games. And it's good to see happiness in video games, joy and, you know, back in it. So yeah, this is the year that I play through at least Psychonauts 2, if not 1 and 2. I might start 1 just to kind of, you know,
you'll at least get the feel for it.
Just get the feel for what Psychonauts is.
If you can bring yourself to ignore the collectibles, you can beat Psychonauts 1 pretty fast.
Okay. Sounds good. What else have you been playing?
No, I mean, like, literally, that's it.
Okay, all right.
I played the Tunic demo.
Oh, yeah? That's like the Fox Zelda-like thing?
Yeah, Fox Zelda-like thing. That was pretty good.
Okay.
And that's about all I'm saying. It's a demo, so it felt even more open than what I would consider a traditional Zelda game because they just plop you down there and, you know, but again, it's a demo. So it has a UI that says, hey, if you want, you know, maybe go find a sword and look for a dungeon or something.
And have
fun in the demo. So if there is a story or any of that kind of stuff in there, we don't know what it is yet because they just chose not to include in the demo. So it felt very, I don't want to call it aimless because again, I'm assuming that that's what they chose to do for the demo purpose. So
it's on Steam, right?
Yeah, demo on Steam.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Excellent. Well,
What about you?
I've been playing a couple things. One is a free-to-play game, which I'll get to in a second. I've been playing three things, but I'll talk about maybe two of them right now. Let me share this one right here. This game is called, I don't know if it's how it's pronounced, Kutsi or Kuchi. I'm not 100% sure. It is an indie game. I don't know if you want to call it indie or not, but it's a game based on the artworks of this Italian artist whose name is Enzo Cucci. It's Enzo Cucci's name is Cucci. This game is Cucci. He was, you know, a real popular, I don't know why I even said that, but whatever. I wanted to make that a point. He was a popular artist, I think, in the 70s and 80s, Italian artist. And his work was his kind of this ethereal style, this sort of the pre-80s, like, electronic revolution and everything. So his work whenever people did translate his work into computer visuals, it was difficult to kind of capture their essence because it was always static images. So what this studio, I think they're called Fantastico Studio in Italy, I believe Italy, what they did was develop this game based on his work. And he's famous there. So it's on everything, Switch, Xbox, Steam, PlayStation. I'm playing it on Switch here. And it's purposely meant to look like this sort of grainy style game. It's not a good game. I'll tell you right now, controls-wise, it's not good. It's aimless. But that's sort of the point. You're not trying to win this game. You're really just trying to maneuver through set pieces in kind of unique ways. And they encourage you to sort of break the game even further. Like they play with, I don't know if it's Unreal or what they use, but breaking the systems within the game and breaking the engine actually adds to the game. So I'll play, let me see what one of these levels, they're all sort of these kind of wild and weird levels. Okay, let's play this one. There are these eyeballs that you can find that you see floating around, and you pick up the eyeballs, and if you unlock enough eyeballs, you get gallery images in the gallery that you can actually kind of, look through. But there are bad guys. There's these like skulls. So it's a first person game. You see the eye over the dog over there. I'm going to go
pick it up
and bam, I got one eyeball. That means I've unlocked, dog ran away. I wonder where the dog's going. So this is it's like mostly static images. Oh, there's another eyeball over there. Dog ran away. Oh, is that an eyeball over there? I don't know. But there's definitely something over here. Let's check out. There's eyeballs. Oh, no, there's skulls. The skulls are the bad guys. You stay away from the skulls because they're going to steal your eyeballs. And if you lose your eyeballs, you kind of have to restart the level. But you can see this kind of really cool painterly style that this level takes on. And each of these levels – oh, there's an eyeball. Each of these levels, as you complete one, you move into you sort of maneuver into the next art piece. Oh, it looks like I've just kind of gone back to where it was. So there are those skulls. You hit by a skull and you lose one of your eyeballs. And if you lose enough eyeballs, like I said, you're kicked out of there. And that's really all this game's about. There's some of the levels are like more like mazes. Some are just these environments, but I think the idea is really awesome for me as a practicing artist. Like my full-time job as a designer. All right, cool. I got the camel's eyeball there. As someone who is always looking for different ways to showcase his art and design, I was immediately drawn to this because I thought, man, there's like, this is an awesome way to show people the work that I do. And I immediately started getting ideas in my head about how I want to create a video game, because I've been kind of dabbling in some game dev stuff. I actually have some like game ideas in my head that I want to work through. But I thought this would be a really great way to sort of develop an interactive compendium of my work. Not necessarily like this, not this sort of weird aimless thing. I'm probably using it actually more game-like, but I think there's something really interesting with what they do here. I'd love to see other, work from other artists the same way.
This is definitely different.
Yeah, it is. Hell yeah, it is. It is not for everybody.
I mean, like when I think about things that evoked similar ideas to me, stuff like Gorogoa.
Yes, Gorogoa.
And to a certain degree, Gris.
Gris, sure. Yeah.
Gris is gorgeous. Just kind of do a better job of it.
No, I agree. I think the aim is different because Gris is more of an actual narrative.
There's completely, no narrative. Completely agree, which is why I hesitated and did it second. Gorogoa is definitely more art than Gris is, where Gris has a very specific story that it is telling you.
This is completely experimental. Like this is if someone was saying, all right, we have this really simple little engine. Let's figure out ways to incorporate his art into this engine. All right, I got five eyeballs. I have no idea. And here's a part with this game. It's like, I don't even know where I have to go after this. Do I go back to the house? Maybe. I don't know. But there's all these, the levels are sort of, they're like this. They're like, something's raining now. Look at that. So maybe I am in the right area. it's just a really cool idea, and I think it's something that, like, okay, the door's open. That means I got enough eyeballs. I can go through here. Let's go through there to the next level. There we go. Finished this level. And there's the art piece that this level was based on. And that's it. Crazy. I mean, I think the idea is, like, okay, you're literally in his artwork. It's like if you stepped into, I don't want to say Mona Lisa, but if you stepped into, like, a Picasso work or something from Diego Rivera or whatever, you know, it's there's levels of surreal and there's levels of, you know, it's really just sort of exploratory. But there you go. That's it. That's this game, Coochie. I think it's pronounced Coochie. I would recommend anybody who's into art, check it out. It's just this really kind of cool, experimental. I'd imagine that this guy's rolling an egg or something. He's trying to get away from me. If you were high as fuck, I think this would be something that you'd probably be into. I think this is, you know. I'm going to recommend this to Tom Johnson. There you go. That's Coochie. I'm going to check the other game now, which is play normal heroes. Super Animal Royale. So we got Super Animal Royale arrived on a few platforms this week. And it's a Battle Royale meets Animal Crossing style game. Maybe is that a kind of a good way to say it? Did you try this yet?
I have not.
Okay. It has all the trappings of a Battle Royale game in that you'll see when the screen pops up here, the cuteness of the design completely throws me off the cute nature of this throws me off, because I just see, you'll see layers and layers of menus befitting of every typical Battle Royale game out there, with battle passes, with character customizations, with, you know, loadouts. And it's not for, I hate to say it's not for kids, but, you know, there's a lot that goes into this. Like I'd expect this to, like, have, okay, look, here you go, animal. I can choose my animal. Let's make it. Whoop! I backed out of there. Let's go over here. I'll choose this. That's my look, and I guess I can buy stuff. I don't even know what these things do. The disco habit. I think the majority of it is just
cosmetic.
Just cosmetic, but I don't know. There's pets. Do the pets do anything besides follow me around? I don't. Are they only on this screen? I'm not sure. Then there's Carl's cart, which you can buy some other things on there. And of course, just like every other game, you earn these tickets and you're in these paws that they have within the things there. But they have, you know, these are the milestones, games played, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to actually jump into a game here so you can actually see what this game is like. Okay, play. It's actually quite quick to get into a game because visually it's very simple, and I think it doesn't need to load a lot over a network. And I think this is a lobby, right? You walk around and you can slice. Hey, the lighting's kind of cool. You can get the shadows. You can slice people. You can dive. And then I can change weapons with, you know, one of the other shoulder buttons. But really, that's it. Slice and avoid. Slice and avoid. And like other Battle Royale games, it has a fog that envelops you. In this game, it's like a poison gas type thing. But it moves really quick, and I think I have died in every single match within the poison fog, at least in a lot of the matches within the poison fog, because I didn't know which direction it was going in. the other issue is that there's so many characters here. Some of these folks are freaking brutal at how good they already are in this game. And I don't know if it's because the game has actually been out for a while already. All right, so I'm getting dropped off here. You see everybody gets kind of launched, kind of fun. Hey, cool. All right, I'll just jump off here, wherever. Okay, and there I am. I want to land. Oh, he's going to land in there. So let me land in here. Looks like there's some cool stuff in there. All right.
It was so funny. But yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. Like, you know, it's kind of like, oh, wow, cute animals. Here, let me get this rifle real quick.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to go in here. Is there something here? Oh, I'm on ice, so it's like slippery even. Okay, so now, you know, I'm walking around here, and maybe I'll find somebody to kill. Here we go. Yeah, we got some folks here. Bam, 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 bam. That's it. Done. That's it. Very quick kills. And it's not that I'm bad, because I know I am bad, but I'm usually decent enough in... I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to bother spectating. It is cool you can spectate, because it's actually kind of a fun way to see so many people playing. There is definitely a first-timers are mixed in with folks who know Battle Royale systems in and out, or at least know this Battle Royale system in and out. And that's a failing, I think, in this, because it turns you off a little bit from wanting to really get into it, you know? Great animations. It definitely, like I said, it's sort of Fortnite meets Animal Crossing. I'm okay with that. I like that idea. I'm curious when Ariana Grande will be having a concert in this game. It'd be kind of cool. Or when, you know.
Interesting that you would wonder that.
I mean, it could be that, or it could be Martin Luther King Jr., you know, MLK Day. They could be celebrating here as well. That went over well.
Mm. And we missed talking about that during the news.
Yeah, I'm kind of
glad. We had so much to add to the conversation.
But yeah, so here we go. The game starting in a few seconds here. It's free to play. Definitely, I mean, downloading it isn't going to hurt on any device. And it's actually...
You're counting on it.
Yeah. It's actually competent on the Switch, which to me was, you know... Any other Battle Royale game, some function okay, like let's say, I gotta get away from this dude. Fortnite actually works. Apex Legends definitely does not work.
Right.
This guy, come on. And he's already got a download machine. I'm dead. He had a gun. It was over. There. That's Carl coins and whatever that is. I'm gonna leave here. Get out of here. That's Super Animal Royale. Neat idea. I think there definitely needs to be some matchmaking adjustments in this, because I am getting my ass handed to me. I like that you can add friends and play with friends, but I don't have any friends that are playing this. Somebody please play it so I can.
The big thing to me is just like, it makes me wonder if we have, or when will we reach the critical mass of Battle Royale games.
I know. I hear you.
Man, boy, oh, does it. But then we keep making them. I don't think there was a new one this year yet. That really took hold. Because Warzone was last year.
Yep, that's true.
But maybe Battlefield 2042 will come out with one.
So that's that. I'm going to bust out of this guy. I've been playing a little bit of No More Heroes. I won't get into that anytime. I'll save that for next week, because I'm sure JJ will want to hear more about
that. Give me a little dripping. How is it?
It's No More Heroes, which means it's purposefully not a great game. But that has gone to its detriment over the 4 No More Heroes games that have been released. No More Heroes 1, 2, 3, and then Travis Strikes Again. I'm only like 3.5 hours into No More Heroes 3, so I don't want to go into too much, because I know there are other systems and shit that have to open up. I haven't even mowed the lawn yet, which apparently that's a thing. it hasn't advanced from the first game in the series at all. If you like the first No More Heroes game, I you're probably gonna love this one. I like the first No More Heroes game, and I'm liking this one. It's probably the best that I'll be able to say about it. I have a feeling like I did not like Travis Strikes Again, which was the previous sort of top down version of No More Heroes. Didn't like that very much at all. And this one is just, there's nothing special to it anymore. I mean, they've done it every year, and you know, it literally has been the same game with the same jokes for all 4 editions of this game. At least the first.
Yeah, there's nothing making it special anymore. You know, No More Heroes came out, and I was like, wow, this is very weird and very not Nintendo. And it's like, it's still those two things.
Yeah.
It's just not new or endearing anymore. Like, you know, like I said, they're still, it's still true. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't really do as much for everybody as it used
it should have gone the way of Saints Row, in that it just gets wilder and crazier and crazier and wilder. And they include aliens in this, which is, it's just another coat of paint on the characters that are already in there, which, by the way, the characters that were already in there, they're pretty cool characters. The ones that have been in the series thus far. And they just kind of, you know, it's just aliens this time, which doesn't do anything different. Like if it was some way, I don't know. It's just Saints Row gets crazier over the span of like three games. This has not gotten crazier. It's just,
yeah,
it really feels like more in jokes that Suda's trying to make, to the point where he even said, I'd love to make a Deadpool game. And I'm thinking, you don't. No, you might. We don't want you to make a Deadpool game. Nope. Don't. Not.
You don't have to be like this.
You don't have to do that. You can. You know what? Let it be. Let's watch the movies. That's all right. But yeah, I'll get into more of that, I think, next week when I have more time playing it. But
All right. That's
it, man. That's what I've been. That's what I've been playing. I mean, a little bit here and there with like trying to catch up on some of my backlog, but. That's either here nor there. It's been, I'm off this week. So the rest of this week is me playing video games, which includes No More Heroes, includes some PS stuff. I want to get into Cyberpunk. I think tomorrow might be my Cyberpunk day. I have like a few hours into it. Yeah. So get back into that. I'm going to do, I had this started earlier in the summer where I think it was in July, where I was dividing up different days for games. So I was like, all right, Monday's, you know, this game, Tuesday is this game, Wednesday is this game. Well, that tends to fall apart sometimes because you may not have a chance to play a game at all on a specific day, or you just get busy or whatever. But I'm going to try to hold to it this time and say, okay, these, you know, Monday and Tuesday are Cyberpunk. Wednesday is something sort of lighter. Thursday is this. Friday is this. And the weekends are this. I'm going to try to really focus on that so I can start knocking out this backlog and get a good,
Good luck. Nothing could go wrong.
Nothing at all will go wrong. It's according to plan. It'll go exactly according to plan. But you know what? According to plan, 58 minutes right here. We did it. It's not the 8-hour Taylor epic.
But sub 60 minutes. Lock it up.
At Dolly Demofsky, at Taylor Bliss. You can find us at SideQuesting. SideQuesting TV on Twitch. SideQuesting on YouTube. And guess what? SideQuesting.com. That's the website you can go to find out all this cool stuff that we talked about today and more. And we'll have more. Oh, no. We're not over yet. Wait. There's one more thing. Dang it, I ruined it.
30 seconds.
Okay, ready? Hold on. I got to share the screen here real quick. This will be 30 seconds. Because I have Snack Questing with Wrap Snacks. I have Wrap Snacks. There is a thing called Wrap Snacks at Walmart.
Let's try this.
I have the Migos sour cream with a dab of ranch. Let's do it. Let's try it.
I can't believe it.
They are chips. Okay. It's actually potato chip with only a little bit of sour cream and ranch. It's not bad. It's very light. Okay. Good. Wait. There's more.
Oh, my God. We're not finishing. Rip the 60-minute dream.
You need the East Coast built into there. The Notorious B.I.G. icon. Honey jalapeno potato chips. 30 seconds. Can I do it? Here it is. Big old potato chip.
That's a big potato chip.
Mm-hmm. It was a big dude. Mmm. Ooh. Has a really good kick to it. I like this. It's not hot at all. I'm digging it. Honey Jalapeno, rap icon, Notorious B.I.G. Get your rap snacks. This has been the Side Quest. This has been Snack Questing. It's Taylor and Dolly. We'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye. Rap snacks.